Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, so all that we have invested, we lay all on the line tonight. For us, together, for each other, all right? The journey starts tonight.
Try to tie this game.
Behind it, number!
like this and roll with it.
Super Bowl 46 is underway.
Here in the early going, the Giants dominating the line of scrimmage. That's Tom Brockman style.
Throws one. Oh, touchdown, Giants. Mr. Cruz on the slam.
That's a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Mario Manningham.
It's given the Giants the lead, but it was an almost reluctant touchdown by Bradshaw. And now the Super Bowl is going to come down to a Hail Mary. Brady, he is one. The jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over. Finished is what Tom Coughlin said, and Eli Manning and the Giants have finished off the Patriots in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. Happy fifth week. Actually, no, I'm wrong. Happy week six in the National Football League for those of you who just can't wait to get your day started. Welcome into the fastest 60 minutes in sports. I'm your host, Vincent Moore, better known to you as Vinny Mo, and it's always fun. Anyway, live today from Calgary after a whirlwind of weeks of travel all over the glorious North American continent. Excuse me. Anyway, rocking and rolling, a whole lot of fun things to talk about in this week of sports from the Major League Baseball playoffs. Moving along now, we're down to just the four teams. Nothing new on hockey. The NBA preseason has begun. The CFL finishing up week 15 in their football season. So some teams have made the playoffs in the CFL. And your call, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. This one will be a fun one in that we don't have some of the things we've had in the past here, yet we have more things for you to enjoy. So you'll find out soon enough. Anyway, 9:07 for your morning. Let's get into your sports headlines and get into what is a bit of a shocking week for some teams in college football. For those of you who were not paying attention or because you were enjoying a Saturday doing whatever it is you were doing, let's run down your top 25 in college football and let's see who hang in there at their whatever their rankings are, who has the potential to move up on the ranking board. Because, again, as always, there are upsets in college football, especially for programs and teams that have maybe never been as high as, at least not for, in the, say, the last 10 years, as high as they have been ranked most recently. Let's run them down. Number 25, Michigan hammers Illinois 45-0. Boise State, a 20-10 winner over Fresno. Texas A&M ekes out a crazy win 55-57 over I'm literally there. That's abbreviated. That's Louisiana Tech. I'd like to believe that. 59-57. That had to be a fun little shootout. Hang on a second, guys. Let me do a little bit of research because I always love the games that are really out of the norm. You know, you see 116 points in a football game. Number one, obviously, it was very, very entertaining for the people who were there and the people who we got to watch it on TV. But again, there's a lot of fun stats that come out of games like that as well. Anyway, moving on. Number 21, Cincinnati, a 49-17 winner. Number 20, Rutgers, a winner. Number 19, Mississippi State wins 41-31 over Tennessee. Number 18, Louisville ekes out a win over Pittsburgh 45-35. Number 13, Oklahoma, looking like the Oklahoma we all kind of thought they were, beating up on 15-ranked Texas 63-21. That looked like Oklahoma that everyone thought they were going to have this year, and that this could be the sign of good things to come for the Oklahoma program. Number 12, Florida State rolls over. Number 1, USC, 2014 winner. Number 10, Oregon State, 42-24 a winner. Again, the winners typically hold their positions or put themselves in a position to move up. Number 8, Ohio State, moving four spots last week, ekes out a win over an Indiana squad that's not even ranked, but Ohio State, solid on offense, but man, did they give up a lot of points yesterday, winning 52-49. In what for many will call the game of the day, defense struggle, Notre Dame holds off Stanford in overtime at the goal line, 20-13. So number 7, Notre Dame puts himself in a nice position. Kansas State holds off ISU, 27-21. K-State ranked number 6. West Virginia laid an egg. I'm not even going to – there's no way other way to put it. Getting rolled by Texas Tech. 49-14, so number 5 is not going to be number 5 next week. Number 4, Florida holds off Vandy, 31-17. My team this year had been the South Carolina Gamecocks. They fall to hold LSU off. The Tigers take it 23-21, and I don't know that anyone's ever going to contend with Alabama this year. Alabama rolls Missouri 42-10. The Tide looked like the Tide, and I don't know if it's going to be Oregon. If Oregon has the horsepower, when if they both are in that position at the end of the season, it looks like South Carolina is going to fall. So here comes Florida now, easing their way into number three. And what does this do? West Virginia loses at number five. So does that mean a K-State, you know, just gets the proverbial blessing to slide into the top five now? And what of Notre Dame sitting at number seven? Did they now, you know, ease their way into, because, again, number three and number five lose. So the benefactors, number six and seven, are sitting there with now a shot, again, at BCS, you know, well, gold. It's going to take a loss by Alabama and a loss by Oregon to kind of change the landscape of the BCS perspective right now, because right now it is Alabama and Oregon, and that's it, and everybody else. So anyway, so that's it for your college football love, 9-11 here in the Mountain Time, which means 10-11 in Middle Earth, 11-11 on the East Coast. The pregame show before the pregame show does roll on. If you're following your Week 6 National Football League, a lot of fun games to pay attention to today. Some statement games need to be made by certain teams, even though it's only Week 6. But let's move on. Let's talk about your CFL, the Canadian Football League, which is now just concluding Week 15. One game left in this week, Montreal at Toronto. Let's run you down your scores. BC 37-17 winner over Hamilton. The Calgary Stampeders, my boys, 32-21 over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Winnipeg has just struggled all season long at 4-11. Saskatchewan Rough Riders lose to the Edmonton Eskimos, 37-20. Here's your playoff count. Lions are in the playoffs already, 11-4, followed by the Stampeders in that second place in that division at 9-6. Both have secured playoff spots. The other East division is a little bit tighter. Montreal's only 8-6, Toronto right behind them at 7-7. So there's some things that have to be sorted out there yet still in the Canadian Football League. But looks like you're going to have if you were going by stats, you'd look at that West division and say that's where your champion's going to come from. Does BC have the horsepower to finish off with what they've started? They've had a great run this year. They're on a current two-game winning streak, and it looks like they're primed to make this run. We shall see. Let's see. So we see the 15 games already. So the final week of the season, BC is at home against Edmonton. Toronto is likely to win against Winnipeg. That would make Toronto 8-0. Well, they haven't played their final game, so they won't be. Yeah, they only played 14 so far. So we'll have to wait and see how the day goes. Hamilton has to come to Calgary to play. Hamilton's a 5-10 squad. You like the Stampeders' chances there to finish up the season 10-6 and get themselves ready for a fun playoff run. And again, if divisions have to play the top two in each one, as they sort all that fun stuff out unless they do the reseeding, and this is something that may be a little bit different in Canada in terms of how they do their preseeding playoffs. If they take the two top teams based on record versus the winners of each division, I'm not sure if it's a four-team or a two-team. If it's just a two, then you go right to the Grey Cup, and that's always fun. If it is a four, which I anticipate it is, then you still have two seats left to sort out, whether that's going to come from a Montreal and a Toronto battling it out for the division supremacy, or if a Saskatchewan team at 8-7 still has an outside. If it's not done by the breakdowns, then you could have a reseeding based on the records, in which case, I mean, the worst team in the West Division is Edmonton at 7-8. Should Edmonton win and go to 8-8 and Montreal were to lose today and next week, you could have all the teams in the playoff from one division, and that would be a lot of fun. I mean, it would be one of those testimonies to how reseeding would actually work in a sport where the divisions are there just more as placeholders than definers of who actually does well in terms of the playoffs. So that is something fun to just consider and to think about. In the meantime, for those of you following us on Facebook, you can find us at The Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. Pretty easy to find. And a quick little segue at 9:14 here in Mountain Time. Last night, I had occasion to hang out with some youngsters who were both, basically they were celebrating a birthday party. And I thought that's anything something that we did as kids ourselves. We hung out with our friends. We had a good time. We celebrated. We ate great food. We drank. In my day, we acted like we were drinking alcohol. But, you know, in most cases, we didn't have the courage. But today's kids are a little bit different. You know, they pulled out a fifth at Crown Royal last night, and they just had themselves a good time. Yet and still, while they were doing that, most of them had the wherewithal, and this is what kind of surprised me, they had the wherewithal to know, hey, this really isn't for me. That whole drinking thing and getting stupid and wilding out really wasn't for me. So while their inhibitions were somewhat lower and they were very open with their conversations, they still never really got out of sorts. And I thought it was amazing that most of them, at some point in the middle of the evening, decided that they might want to reach out to mom and dad, or, you know, at least get home by a certain time because they didn't want to offend or upset mom and dad. And I thought that was amazing because in today's world, when you hear so much about disrespect and the way it's themselves, I thought that was really interesting. And so, yeah, I appreciate you all giving me the minute or 2 minutes of this little platform to at least kind of give some kudos to today's teens and the generation that we often call is kind of lost. Actually, at least here last night in Calgary, Alberta, they took it upon themselves to say, hey, you know what? We're good. You know, we're going to go on home. We're going to chill. We're going to be safe and be smart, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to hang with our friends, but at some point, we're going to make a good decision. They didn't get outside of themselves. They didn't make a poor decision. So, you know, major love to them, and happy birthday to Nico. He celebrated it yesterday. Again, his age fails me now. I think he might be 18. But happy birthday to him, his family, my colleague Jeffrey, phenomenal young man. Thank you all for allowing me to hang out with you guys last night. You know, great family, great friends, great social scene. So kudos to you guys. To the National Hockey League now. It's 9:16 here in the Earth, Mountain Earth. There's nothing to talk about in the National Hockey League. More players are moving to their native countries and playing there to get their game tight. A couple of news and notes where that's concerned. You know, the union did not break. They're still hanging in there. Sidney Crosby states he's optimistic, but owners want to change the deal. That's unfortunately not much else to talk about in hockey. So, guys, we're going to close the book on hockey for today. There's nothing else really to talk about. Let's get into something a little bit more poignant. The Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll talk about Derek Jeter and the broken left ankle from last night as the Tigers take game one of that series 6-4. Cardinals and Giants get it rocking today. For the Washington Nationals, who had the best record in baseball, a rough kind of ending to what's been a great season. Hopefully they'll learn something. That's a great young team. They stand by Strasburg as a choice, even though I guess he kind of fumbled a little bit down the stretch. I mean, again, a young kid who's, you know, obviously got to get his legs underneath him, got to get his arm on, you know, intact, and it's not easy to go 200 innings in Major League Baseball. And a lot of the young talents today, and this goes back to even the days of the great Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor when they were with the Cubs, and the Cubs had that big push in 2003 to get to the playoffs and looked like they were going to be the dominant squad. And lo and behold, a couple of mistakes, and of course that was the infamous Bartman game that when the Cubs were up 3-1 over the Florida Marlins and ultimately just kind of crapped on themselves and wound up losing that series to Florida. So anyway, notwithstanding that, the postseason is in full swing. I will humbly submit to you that I was rooting for the Baltimore Orioles, so I'm a little down today. But, you know, despite the, you know, that feeling and the Yankees making it moving on, you know, the fact of the matter is the Tigers, a good baseball team. A little bit more. They had a 4-run lead and wound up losing it late. You know, the Yankees come up with late for Royce, but you know, ultimately the Tigers do finally pull away. But the crushing blow of the game is the loss of Derek Jeter. Fractures the left ankle in game one of the ALCS now. And what does this mean? He's done for the season. He's done for the rest of the playoffs. So, but the Yankees are the Yankees. And the Yankees are one of the most amazing teams in sports only because they seem to always be able to just reload. But this deep in the playoffs, a loss like this one is going to definitely hurt. It's not as easy as just plugging under the shortstop. That is Derek Jeter. That's the best way I can say it. That's Derek Jeter. And that means a lot to that organization at the top of that order. He sets the table. He has the ability to create. There's a lot of things. So today, you have a 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. start games in New York. Let's see. No. Yeah, we know that. crushing blow for the Yankees, catastrophic night, and we'll get some of these headlines associated with not only losing the Yankees, now become underdogs with the loss of Jeter. Even though Raul Labania is a true professional, you never ever lose sight of that fact. And again, yeah, I'm looking at some of these expert picks, and I guess, well, I don't know how many of them actually flip-flop, but this is literally split down the middle. There are, well, 5-3. Timmy Kirchen, Buster Olney, you've got the Yankees in 7 and or 6. Krasnick, Capels, Schoenfeld, the Tigers. Dick likes the Tigers, and I don't know how much of that's changed since the hurting of Derek Jeter. But so that's really all there is to talk about. Again, the series begins today, Cardinals and Giants in San Francisco. I don't know that one will be a lot of fun. I think most of us that are National League kind of heads will lean toward probably seeing the Cardinals eat that one out. You know, how would a Cardinals-Tigers World Series look? I don't know. I do not know. I know that for someone like Prince Fielder, who labored in Milwaukee for years, he has to be excited to have gone this deep in this run now with his new team, the Tigers. Cabrera and that Tiger offense can make some noise. And they've got pitching with Verlander. Yeah. Valverde, kind of up and down most recently. But anyway, so that's your Major League Baseball love for the day. I'm done talking about NBA. Nothing to talk about until that game gets off the schneid, as they say. In the meantime, let's do what we always do, which, of course, is talk about the National Football League, and we can segue in and out of that. Is there anything on the NBA front we need to talk about other than the fact that it's preseason? You know it's bad when the cover of the NBA pages across the nation are who is the best flopper in basketball. That just implies to you that unless someone gets hurt, we really don't have a whole lot to talk about. Let's see. The Mavericks, O.J. Mayo, out due to a cut on his hand. Clippers beat Heat of preseason. Nobody cares. Here's a conversation piece for many of you who are looking for something to talk about tomorrow. Is the 1996 the best draft class ever? And you've got to look at that draft class. I believe that would be the Kobe Bryant draft class. Take a look at the players that came out of the draft class, and you decide for yourself. A good talking point while you're around your water cooler tomorrow. But again, no more really where the NBA is concerned. We're giving you a college football rundown. Again, Notre Dame is finally relevant. College basketball will be on the spectrum soon as we start to see that whole season ramp up and get into its push within the next few weeks. So look for that. NASCAR will be winding down. We'll talk about the NASCAR, what used to be called the Winston Cup Championship. It's been called the Sprint Cup Championship. What is it now? Anyway, whatever it is, we know Joey Logano won the nationwide race in Charlotte. We know there's a big race, I believe it's today. Hang on a second, guys. Let's see. No, we don't want to do that. Let's see. Clint Boyer last night, Charlotte Motor Speedway. Oh, all right. Well, either way it goes, I guess it's a good thing. The 5-hour energy team. You know what's amazing, though, about NASCAR these days is much like everything else, and it's in transition, as is hockey, as is just about anything, as this melting pot that is our country continues to evolve and continues to open up so many avenues and doors. You see team members, and you probably wouldn't have seen this even 20 years ago. You see, it used to be just the good old boys, you know, from North Carolina, from somewhere down in the southeast or south portions of the nation, that were always just the guys that they knew cars, they knew engines, they were the best at what they do. And now some of those best at what you do are of different ethnicities. You know, you see the Asian, the Hispanic, you see some brothers on these teams, driving, and as largely unheard of, and there's still some evolution that has to happen for this to truly work and be balanced across the board. But the idea and or the notion that we could somehow wind up as a balanced society is exciting. And for those of you who know I follow not only the sporting world, but I also follow the political world, I'm concerned about social matters as well. So I think it's always amazing to me when I see that kind of success and see that the success is driven largely by the talents of those, regardless of their particular ethnic background. That's just impressive to me. So that's my little NASCAR piece and my little social media piece. And so we'll move on from there into 25-25 at the hour. Let's get over these expert picks for this week 6 in the National Football League. Some teams have a bye, so again, you won't hear from those guys. And some things have been a shock. The shock, first one, her Thursday night in Pittsburgh went to Tennessee and literally lost. They got mauled. They got beat up. Tennessee, a team who expected to be a little bit more competitive this year, came out at home on a national stage and literally just beat the Steelers physically. They beat them. It wasn't a matter of Pittsburgh not being ready to play. They were ready to play. Tennessee came out like a brawler and basically said, we may not have as much talent, we may not be as quick as you are, and we may not be as skilled, we may not be having the season that we'd like to have. But we're at home, we're on national TV, so the one way we might be able to just slow you down is to physically beat you up. And that's exactly what they did, ultimately winning for the Titans in the end on the field goal at the end of the game. Exciting time for the Tennessee Titans, trying to hopefully turn their season around again. So for those, all the experts, and I mean, I'm looking at 10 of you guys right now, 15 of you guys right now, all of you had the Steelers, and that would make perfect sense based on the way Tennessee played. Yeah, that didn't work out so well. Okay, Oakland at Atlanta this week. Atlanta gets the nod from the board. However, I never, ever discount Carson Palmer and the Oakland defense. Playing in Atlanta is really, really tough. Matt Ryan is very, very good. The Falcons will probably win the game, but it will be close. Cincinnati at Cleveland. There are three experts that actually believe that the Cleveland Browns have a shot to win this game, probably because they're at home. I'm actually joining them on this. I love Andy Dalton. I love A.J. Green. I think the Bengals have got a tremendously strong defense. But you saw something out of Cleveland early on last week. They're an opportunistic team. And early on when we started seeing, I believe it was, well, Pittsburgh? Make some mistakes. You literally saw the Cleveland Browns, you know, I won't say they wilted, but they just got literally overrun at some point where you look up and it was, you know, 17-7, and all of a sudden you look up and they're down 41-24. problems on defense for Cleveland. I don't know that they can actually stay today. So as much as I'd love to go Cleveland, this is Cincinnati's day. St. Louis at Miami. A bit of a mixed bag. St. Louis doesn't typically travel very well. The Dolphins have played better at home most recently, so I will lean toward the Dolphins on that one. Indianapolis, the Colts at the Jets. The Colts coming off the improbable comeback against Green Bay last week. Go to the Jets, who have been decimated not only by injury, but decimated by a poor job of preparation by their coaches and coaching staff. And this was why you see a split down the middle with 8 people saying the Jets, 7 people saying the Colts. I will continue right now that if the Jets don't figure it out on offense and learn how to run the ball again, the Indianapolis Colts will go in there and they'll take that game. And that is where I'm going to go with that game. The Detroit Lions at the Philadelphia Eagles. Only one pundit, Tom Jackson, picks the Lions to have a shot in this game. This is the Lions that went to the playoffs last year. Vic and the Eagles have seemingly turned it around to some degree. So, take the Eagles. Kansas City at Tampa Bay. Only one pundit liked Kansas City in that game, and that would be Mike Golick. 14 others like Tampa Bay at home. Kansas City has proven that they can shoot themselves in the foot, not deciding what to do with Matt Castle and not giving the ball to Jamaal Charles enough. So Tampa Bay is the odds-on favorite there. I happen to agree that Tampa Bay probably wins this game. As much as I would love to see Kansas City pull it off for my friend Bill Padula. Anyway, Dallas at Baltimore. Can the Cowboys get out of their own way? Coming off a bye week, only two professionals believe Dallas has a chance in this, Wickersham and Chris Mortensen. Everyone else likes the Ravens at home in this game. The Ravens will control tempo. They'll run the ball with Ray Rice, and on occasion will take some shots downfield with Torrey Smith. Anyway, moving on. Buffalo at Arizona. Everyone loves Arizona in this game. Arizona's defense playing very, very well this year. Buffalo, not quite sure what's going to go on with the running game, and they just can't seem to get out. Even though Ryan Fitzpatrick is confident, I don't think he has enough talent around him to make a difference. Moving on to Seattle, everyone except for Tom Jackson. Keyshawn Johnson. Everyone except for Keyshawn Johnson. Oh, I take that back. Chris Mortensen has just flipped. Mortensen and Keyshawn believe Seattle can win this game at home against New England. No one else does. That's Tom Brady. Tom Brady makes everyone play better. It is Seattle. It is a hard place to play. It is a late afternoon game on the West Coast. There are a lot of variables that would maybe lean towards Seattle. This would be a major league upset without without the fake referees or the part-time officials in the game. I don't know how Seattle wins this game. I think New England plays it close to the vest and ekes it out late, maybe pulls away late. Anyway, what I think will be the game of the day will be the New York Giants at the San Francisco 49ers. Your Super Bowl champion from last year, the Giants, going into the 49ers home. A 49er team that believes it was ready to go make that next step last year and go to the Super Bowl. This game is personal for the 49ers. 15 out of 15 have got the Niners winning this game. Unfortunately, that's still the New York Giants. That's still Eli Manning, and he tends to have fine ways in the fourth quarter. Alex Smith has yet to prove to any of you that he can win it in the fourth quarter. He has proven that he can march downfield and score late. He has not shown you that he can win late. The Niners themselves with Frank Gore, the run again, that defense, absolutely great. But Eli Manning, late in the game, with the ball in his hand, is magical. You've seen it time and time again. He's literally a not so, what's the best word, not so flaky version of his brother in that regard. You know, Peyton has a long history of late game comebacks. And now Eli with two Super Bowl rings and history looking almost eerily similar. Here it comes. So while only one pundit believes that the Giants have an actual shot to win this game, I'm going to tell you that they do. I will take the Niners to win the game, but don't be surprised if the Giants Minnesota at Washington. I'd love to say it's put down the middle, but only three of the pundits have the Redskins in this game. RG3 is going to play even though he's got a concussion, and the Vikings are 4-1. Again, playing really well, playing well on defense. Again, that is the key for the Vikings. When you've got Christian Ponder, second-year quarterback, Adrian Peterson you can hand the ball up to, you know, Percy Harvin on the outside who's fast as snot, and you're finding other ways to get points on the board from special teams, you put yourself in a neat position to just simply win games. How good are the Vikings? Well, we'll find out soon enough as they get a little further in the season. They have to play some stronger teams like Chicago in their division. That will be a real good catalyst for those guys. Where they are at. Are they ready to take the next step? We'll find out today. I like them to beat the Redskins, even though it's on the road in Washington. And I say that tongue-in-cheek because the Vikings can still lay an egg. And should that happen, it just would be to the legacy of our people and wind up being like that. You know, if he makes it through the game and he plays well, you know, you never know. Now, another game for many league game of the day, which is played tonight, Sunday night's game, Green Bay at Houston. When this game first came out, this was going to be one of those games where we thought there'd be just a ton of points because both defenses are just kind of average. Well, Texans' defense is ranked number one in the league. You know, J.J. Watts, if the season were in today, would probably be your defensive player of the year. You do have an Arian Foster as a running back who's ranked in the top two or three every single week. You have Andre Johnson, a beast as a wide receiver. You have a solid quarterback in Matt Schaub if he can stay healthy. And on the other side of the ball, you have a team that went 15-1 last year that's really got off to a really rough start this year, 2-3. But a Green Bay squad that knows you can put up points on anybody on any given Sunday. They can score. Can their defense stop Arian Foster in their running game? Well, I guess we'll find out tonight. But I am actually going to root for Green Bay, but I really believe Houston wins this game. And again, as a Chicago fan, I should be saying, come on, Houston Texans, you know, just roll over these guys. But I do want to pay attention to the Houston Texans because, of course, they'll get my Chicago Bears soon enough. Moving on, Denver at San Diego. The Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning taking on the Chargers. This one will be split down the middle. You've got 7-8. Seven pundits like Denver on the road against San Diego. San Diego's defense did prove to be a little bit questionable. San Diego can put up points. We've proven that. The question is, can Denver put up enough points? The answer is yes, as they've proven on many occasions. The problem is you can't be down three touchdowns when you start putting up all these points. And I don't think that'll be the case today. Let's look for Peyton Manning and those guys to get off to a quick start and put some pressure on Phillip Rivers and the San Diego offense to keep up with those guys. Denver has a better defense. You know, guys like Von Miller play with a tremendous amount of passion, and that will come to the forefront today. If your team is a bye, well, be happy. Not picking against them, not picking necessarily for them, not talking about them. They're getting healthy. They're getting ready for a following week. And all that leads us into your fantasy football week 6 rankings at 35 past the hour. Where do we start? We start on the defense this week. So Week six ranks on team defense. If you got them, you're starting them. If not, well, go out and hopefully they're free agents in your fantasy football league. And this week's number 10, and they're actually two, so we're actually going to get 11 numbers for defense here. You have a choice between Seattle and New England on defense this week. Number 9, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number 8, the Vikings in Minnesota. Number 7, the Atlanta Falcons. Number 6, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 5, the Miami Dolphins. Number 4, the Baltimore Ravens. Number 3, the Houston Texans. Number 2, the 49ers in San Francisco. And the number 1 defense to start this week, if you've got it, you're starting them, is the Arizona Cardinals playing against Buffalo. I'm looking at the rankings. I see the 49ers ranked number 2, and they're going to be the world champions. And you've got the Houston Texans at number 3 going up against a high-octane offense in Green Bay. There is more love right now for these defenses than may next week be a good idea. I will tell you this. The Baltimore Ravens going up against Dallas, should, in my opinion, should, in my humble opinion, should be higher ranked than either the Niners or the Texans this week, simply because of the matchup. I might actually put Atlanta a little higher up there just because they're going against Oakland. Philadelphia against Detroit. Detroit still posts Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson, so I don't know that I'd test that water, but they do not have a running game in Detroit right now. No one can stay healthy, no one can get it done. And that's unfortunately going to be the snapshot of Schwartz's leadership skills, the lack thereof, not being able to develop a running game in Detroit. When they do run the ball in Detroit, they are a very good football team. When they do not run the ball, and they haven't been able to now since week 6 of last year, they're because they become so unpredictable when Stafford has the ball 50 times a game. Again, you're predictable. Teams prepare for you, and before you know it, you've basically gotten your butt handed to you, and such is why you're 1-4. Okay? All right, moving on to your kickers this week. Top 10 as we break them all down for you. This week, Sebastian Janikowski, Oakland up against Atlanta. That's actually a probably good fit. Shane Graham in Houston. Jason Hansen in Detroit up against Philadelphia. Lawrence Tynes, the Giants kicker against the Niners. Blair Walsh, there is the leg right there. Walsh, Minnesota at Washington. Look for that guy. Actually, I thought he would actually be higher this week. Justin Tucker, the Baltimore kicker against Dallas. Steven Gostkowski in New England. Greg Zuerlein, the other leg. Zuerlein, St. Louis kicker. That kid's got a huge leg. Zuerlein at Miami. Let's see. Matt Bryan, Atlanta at Oakland. David Akers in San Francisco. All that and more coming up. I hear dings in my background. That's kind of cool. Anyway, we'll go on. More talk, more things to put your way after this.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
Well, that was 1 minute so fun. Okay. All right, let's get back to your rankings. So we're down to the tight ends. Tight ends number 10 this week, Brad Pettigrew of the Detroit baseball of the Lions. Number 9, Antonio Gates of the San Diego Chargers. 8, Brent Celek in Philly. Number 7, Freddie Davis in Washington. Number 6, Jason Witten in Dallas. Number 5, Owen Daniels in Houston. Number 4, Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota. I'm going to have to start following him because I'm starting to see his rankings every single week now. Number 3, Rob Gronkowski in New England. Number 2, Vernon Davis. The Niners love that one where that's at this week. And number 1, Tony Gonzalez, your number 1 ranked tight end this week. Why? No Jimmy Graham. Guess what? Because let's have the week off. Finally. Or as The Rock says in WWE, finally. Okay. All right, let's move on to your wide receivers this week. Number 10, Wes Welker, the New England Patriots. Number 9, Reggie Wayne. Number 8, Vince Cruiser. Got him started. Number 7, Julio Jones. Number 6, Demaryius Thomas. Again, that's the Peyton Manning effect. Number 5, Rob White. Number 4, Percy Harvin. Number 3, A.J. Green. Number 2, Larry Fitzgerald. And number 1, this is why I warn people about Detroit and Philly, Calvin Johnson. All right. Detroit has to throw the football. They have no choice. Arizona Buffalo, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, you know, and I'd hate to find them winning this game, you know, 2017, because that would mean that they slowed the pace of the game down and Larry Fitzgerald wasn't getting his touches. Larry Fitzgerald is a great wide receiver on, unfortunately, a team that is looking for a bit of an identity, and that's got to start from their quarterback. And again, if you ask me who's starting quarterback today, well, who is starting for them today? Is it Kevin Cobb? Is he healthy? Is it Skelton? I don't know. The fact is, someone's got to get Larry Fitzgerald the football. All right, how about that? Let's move on to your running back today. If you've got him, you're starting him. Number 10 this week, Ryan Matthews in San Diego. Number 9, Reggie Bush. Oh, I'm happy to see that finally happen. He gets the Rams today. Number 8, Frank Gore, Niners against the Giants. Number 7, Adrian Peterson. That makes sense. Number 6, Marshawn Lynch. Number 5, Trent Richardson, Cleveland going up against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's been prone to give out yards in the run. Number 4, LeSean McCoy. Number 3, Jamaal Charles. Again, a good running back, not necessarily a great football team. Number 2, Ray Rice, Baltimore and Dallas. That is a great and valuable thing if you've got Ray. Start Ray. Number 1, Arian Foster. Green Bay gives up yardage on the run. Arian Foster could actually have a field day. All pundits and all prognosticators have Arian Foster the number 1 ranked running back this week for obvious reasons. So the 1-2 of Arian Foster and Ray Rice, if you've got those guys, makes a lot of sense. Richardson against Cleveland against Santa makes a lot of sense. Marshawn Lynch against New England. New England, they doubt. A lot of that would come on how Vince Wilfork in that 3-4 gets off the ball. Seattle does love to run block, though, and Marshawn Lynch is indeed a load. If he gets to the second level, that could be a lot of fun. So that one's a bit of a fun one. And as always is the case, we have to give some the head nod to the boys that touch the ball on every snap, the quarterbacks, and who's going to matter in this regard. Let's see. Okay, hang on a second. That's weird. All right, we just heard all kinds of fun things there. All right, let's get to the quarterbacks. That's what's important here. To the quarterbacks. You ready? Matter of fact, I'm going to give you 11 instead of 10 this week. Number 11, because I love what he did last week, Andrew Luck. If you've got him, you start him. 10, Tony Romo. Got him started, unless you hear somebody's name who's also on your roster. Number 8, Philip Rivers. There's actually 2 8s. Because if Philip Rivers is going to have to throw 6 times against that Philadelphia defense. Number 7, Michael Vick of the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 6, Brady going up against Seattle because Brady is Brady. Number 5, Robert Griffin III. I'm not sure about that one with the man with his concussions, but that's where the professionals have got him, so there you go. Number 4, Eli Manning, and I agree with that one wholeheartedly. Again, as he did last year in the playoffs, he should have a good time today with the Niners. He'll be running for his life on occasion, but he should do well. Number 3, his brother Peyton, Denver at San Diego. Look for that to be an absolute fun game, a lot of shootout. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay at Houston. Number 1 this week, Matt Ryan, Matty Ice himself at Oakland. All the pundits tend to like Matt Ryan statistically in this game. So a lot of fun things there. Now, it is 9:43 in my little studio, which means it's 43 past the hour. And it also means we're about a minute and a half away from, as always, it's often imitated, never duplicated, but it is the Stone Cold Lead Pipe over at ESPN. Let's see exactly. Well, it's not going to run long today, guys, so we're about a minute away from that. I want to let you know that you're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Also, at some point in the near future, we'll be expanding beyond just sports, and we're going to talk, as we have in the earlier portion of 2012, about social issues, things like domestic violence. It has statistically been shown now that we tend to have a huge audience that follows us when we get on our soapbox and talk about us as the men improving our relationship with so many of our women. And I hearken back to the comment I made earlier about today's youth and the way they celebrated even last night. The one thing I did see last night was people acting and carrying themselves with a level of respect, even at 17, 18 years old. Nobody got out of sorts. There was a lot of different languages being spoken last night, from Ugandan, Swahili, French, as well as English. And the one thing you seemingly never heard was anyone called out their name. And from my perspective, as more of the fly along the wall, as the guy in the 40s, you know, just kind of enjoying some of the talents of some of the youth today, it actually was refreshing to know that there's hope, because at one point we see the 20 somethings that have not, I often have called them the failure to launch, not been able to kind of get off the schneid and do something with their opportunities in this world, and this world is full of them. And we'll also get into some other political things down the road. Of course, we have a very big election coming up here in November in the United States of America that largely will shape the next 4 to 6 years of where we go as a nation. So we'll get into all the things. But right now, I filled in the blank for you just because you needed me to get us to week six of the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Live, courtesy of our friends over at ESPN. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. This week, Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN radio exclusive.
Collectively, we perform with a lack of intelligence. Now, what else you want me to say?
Hi, college, here we go for week six, and my motto this week is, the perfect aren't going to remain that way. A tree doesn't grow all the way to the sky. The Atlanta Falcons are going to lose a game this year.
Oh, my God!
But not this week. Not against the Raiders. Not with the Raiders coming all the way to the East Coast and playing a 1 o'clock game, which always kills these West Coast teams in the first place. I don't know why they schedule that way, but what are you going to do?
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Matty Ice and the Falcons are going to fall this year, but this isn't going to be the time. Giving 8.5, I'll do it comfortably. Give me the Atlanta Falcons to remain perfect and win this game by double digits.
Hey, America. Did you miss my hot breath in your ear?
I'm going to go to Arizona. Wouldn't we all like to go to Arizona just for a moment?
Arizona.
They're giving 4.5 points to Buffalo. We're not even sure if Buffalo's defense will get on the plane to go to Arizona the way they've been playing.
We're losers! They're burying us alive!
And I don't think they're going to do too well in Arizona. Not that Arizona has the greatest offense in the world, but it's going to be enough to take care of business against Buffalo. Arizona at home, give the 4.5. They'll take it over on Buffalo.
Wait. No.
In my mind, I'm going to Arizona.
Don't ever do that again.
I think that's the wrong music.
Dun, 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 dun.
There you go.
All right, head-to-head we go with the Giants going to San Francisco. I know the 49ers have been waiting to gain their revenge after their NFC Championship loss last year, but I made myself one promise, and I'm staying to it.
I will now never, ever, ever shake hands with another human being again.
If you're giving Eli Manning points this year, I'm taking them. The Giants aren't going to give points too often. That is a great offensive football team. They'll score on everyone, including the mighty 49er defense. This ain't the Bills and the Jets. That the 49ers are welcoming this week. Eli Manning will score on anybody. This is a pick'em, toss-up kind of a game. If you're going to give the Giants 5 points, I'm going to take them. Give me the Giants getting five.
Of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
I'm taking San Francisco. I'm going all left coast this time around, my friend. This San Francisco defense is going to put the hit and the smack down on Eli Manning. Some of his, I get that, but this defense is too good, and they're going to pound the ball running with Frank Gore on offense. I like San Francisco at home, giving the five to the Giants.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. What is that smell?
I think it's your face.
My God, it's getting worse.
And those here, week six, don't go. Box.
That comes out of bitterness, envy, and absence of co-equal success. Nothing more, nothing less.
All right, that's well done, Joaquin. And Mike Urinaga helping out with the locks, and nice job. And Paul Contador Ryan putting together for TV again. I'm giving the points with Atlanta home against Oakland. Golic is giving the points with Arizona home against Buffalo. And we go head-to-head with the Giants in San Francisco. Golic is giving the points with the home team, and I am taking with the Giants on the road.
And those are your week six. I keep wanting to say week five. Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, courtesy of our friends over at ESPN, ESPN Radio. Thanks, Mike and Mike. And thanks, Peak Antifreeze, for handling that for us. So, we've got 10 minutes left in today's episode of the Fast 6 Minutes in Sports. And as much as I would love to tell you about how great our teams are in the National Football League, how great sports is in the landscape, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem. It's not a problem that's going to be rooted out by one individual. It is a systemic problem. Okay. Love to tell you our fandoms don't have an effect on greater and broader aspects of the world, and that would be a lie, because they do. And this moment is really brought to you about how we comport ourselves and how we handle ourselves around our kids and our sports, especially our youth sports. This past week, we saw a really, really disturbing video of coaches getting into a skirmish over maybe some bad calls or a disagreement between coaches on the sides of how a game's outcome may have been determined. We've seen it with the replacement referees early in the season in the Seattle-Green Bay game at the highest level of the game, which caused all kinds of consternation, and for many people believe that it largely is why the regular officials were able to sort out that deal and get back in place. But any time you see coaches and parents on the field with their children around, literally in fisticuffs, it brings you back to your value structure and why you are doing the things you do and what your intention for what you're doing really truly is. And I don't want to get all NBC News on you where this is concerned, but the reality is that's not in the best interest of the game. It's not in the best interest of your kids witnessing this. It is a game, and there are great values that come from this game or any game that involves teamwork and camaraderie and discipline. And with those successes that come from all that also come the bitter taste of an occasional loss or defeat. But the loss or defeat of a score on a scoreboard does not have to be reflective of who you are. It doesn't mean you're a loser in this world or in this life. It just means you didn't score more points than the other guy today. And I want you to keep that in perspective as you go out today and enjoy not only all the sporting events that will go on the rest of the day, whether you're going to a local pub, one hand with your friends, how you comport yourselves, your friends and the kids, is absolutely critical. Just keep that in the forefront of your mind as you start to enjoy all the wonderful talent you're going to see on an NFL field today or a basketball court later on today. We know we have not given any love to the WNBA. I know their season recently should be, I can't believe it should be concluded by now. We're going to find out who won that championship. We'll talk about that briefly next week. Send me emails so I can be reminded of that. And you'll notice today that we only shared the phone number of the show one time. And I'll tell you why. Of course, for those of you who want to archive it, 619-639-4747. When we do shows about sports, we don't typically get a lot of callers. But amazingly enough, over 10,000 of you will replay this show. It's almost as if you're playing it back before your games to get picks and to get ideas and perspectives on players, which also speaks to your value structure. But back to the parents and back to those of us who've got children and who are concerned about the role model that is us as parents. Have some common sense and let's create some level of self-respect so that you care about what your children see in you. And I know I said that maybe in an awkward way, but I really think it's important that you understand as an adult how your parents, or I'm sorry, how your children view you as an adult. Do they see you as the tender warrior, as a dad who enjoys his sports, but also understands that there has to be a sensitive side of, you know, how I carry myself? You know, there's some level of respect, some level of common sense I need to carry to make good decisions, because my good decisions usually propagate down to my children. I do believe there are generational things going on here. So what my son sees in me and my successes in this life or my shortcomings in life may indeed filter down into his decision-making process. I have to be mindful of that. Same thing's true with my daughter. I'd like to know that I'm my daughter's constant. You know, and every time I see the successes that she has in life, I just sit there with a smile on my face. I don't have to say anything. I don't have to brag myself up or anything. I don't have to do that. Be proud and warm in my heart knowing that somewhere along the line, maybe I just taught her something or shared something with her that she was able to take advantage of and make a good decision with. And I would hope that you as parents and you as adults have a similar perspective when it comes to, you know, teaching, training, or raising your children. Care about what they see. Care about what they do. This recent video showing coaches and parents in fisticuffs on a field is only disturbing because it reminds us that we're not perfect. We're far from where we need to be. And our value structure, sometimes skewed. So let's do better. Five minutes left in this particular show. Much love to all of you in Middle Earth and the Chicago market. You know I'm a Chicago guy, so much love to the East Coast. Good luck with all your fun things going on there. My love to the West Coast, to our military all over the world. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I appreciate what you do for our freedoms. Again, I could probably talk your ears off about the last 5 minutes of the week six and that. But why? Most of you, your determinations have already gone to your windows. The rest of you, concern about your fantasy football starting squads, makes perfect sense. Get out there. don't get burned by the bye. Okay? There's a bye week this week for a lot of teams. A lot of teams that are highly ranked don't get burned by the bye. This is the season now. Teams are taking weeks off by schedule. It's a time chance to heal. The game is better, even though it may suck as a fan sometimes to know that your team's not playing this week. Your team is healthy because of the bye. A lot of your talented players that you love so much, their careers have been extended simply by giving them a 1-5. It's little things like that that make the difference. Okay? To Richland Park, Illinois, I love you even though you make some of the quirkiest decisions I'll ever, ever hear from. And we'll finish this up right after this.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub. Hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it, sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steak and cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting to panic here. There's only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos. Sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
And now, you contemptible harpy, I shall end your oppressive reign of matriarchal tyranny.
I apologize. You couldn't hear me. My fault, guys. My fault. All right. 2 minutes. 2 minutes left in the ride. For those of you getting ready for your pregame show, this is the pregame show before the big pregame shows. The Fox show gets off in about 3 minutes. For those of you following the CBS, which will follow the AFC, also start in a couple of minutes. Tonight's game, the Houston-Green Bay game, Sunday Night Football will be on NBC. And, of course, tomorrow night, Monday night's game will be carried on ESPN. Much love to all of my colleagues in the media world. It's going to be a fun week. For those of you, the late afternoon games are going to be awesome. Get you some chicken wings, get you some snacks, get you whatever it is that's going to float your boat today. Sit back and enjoy what's going to be a fun day of sports. For those of you baseball heads, you've got Game 1, Cardinals and Giants. I don't know if Game 2, Tigers and Yankees, is today. It may actually be. That fails me right now. What's going to happen with the Yankees, the loss of Derek for the rest of the playoffs? Does not look good for the Yankees, I'll tell you that. But anyway, not important. To my friends at Richland Park, Mrs. Moore, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's both Ms. Moore's. My daughter, Vanessa, superstar, and her. Much love to you. It's been a rough week. I know homecoming was last night, so kudos to Rich Central for the homecoming last night. I don't know if you all won your football game. I'll check that out soon enough. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. I'll get the update from the daughter and everything and the pitches and everything else. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Week 6 in the NFL and the fastest 6 minutes of sports. We love you. Nothing you can do about it. And we will see you next time only on the fastest 60 minutes of sports. My name is Vinny Moore. Have a great Sunday. See you next week.